Hello! From the studio in Nitro, West Virginia, this is Unreasonable Doubt. It's a podcast about West Virginia University basketball. I'm Josh Witt, and the TV schedule is out. So we've had dates, now we have times, and I gotta say, this is a credit to Ross Hodge. Let's give him all the credit, because last two seasons, WVU basketball was on ESPN Plus 18 times each season. And they played 31 plus an exhibition. So 18 each year. This year, and this has to be because the powers that be, being the networks, think West Virginia's got a little more something this year, because West Virginia only on ESPN Plus 10 times. So you drop from 18 to 10. And more importantly, there's only one ESPN Plus game that's a conference game. And that's near the end of the schedule at Kansas State. That's on ESPN Plus. So there, between Mississippi Valley State on December 22nd and Kansas State on March 3rd, that's the gap between ESPN Plus games. Will I miss, like, the game at Houston last year where we had the POV cam of just a camera guy walking around trying to get to a shot and no commentators hearing them? Is that still in play? I guess we've got 10 opportunities. But the WVU folks, they do a great job. When it's Warren Baker and it's the local guys, Andrew Caridi, whoever they have, they run a pretty tight ship for the most part. It got dicey in conference games at other arenas. And I will miss the unintentional comedy of that this year. And who knows when that'll come back around. It's just a good thing to be able for someone to be trying to figure out on their YouTube TV, the Hulu, if you still got the cable package, shout out to you, DirecTV. If you're flipping around, feel like an old man saying this, you can't flip around on ESPN Plus, or it's very difficult. You can come across a WVU game on ESPN, on Fox, on ESPN2, on CBS Sports Network. It's just, right now, that is better visibility. It's not only the fans of the two teams tuning in to a streaming game. That's awesome. No TNT games. TNT avoided WVU this go-round. Peacock is involved, and they are diabolical. The Peacock folks are shrewd business folks. West Virginia has two games on Peacock, once on January 21st and once on February 21st. The January game at Arizona State, the February game on the hideous frogskin court. I don't have Peacock. With respect, have I had Peacock? Yes. Have they sent me an email saying, hey, for the coins you find in your couch cushion, if you put all that together, we'll give you a year of Peacock? Have I done that before? Yes. Am I out of the Peacock game right now? Yes. Will I only sign up for Peacock for the amount of games that WVU is playing on Peacock? Yes. Having it the exact same day, so when I sign up on January 21st, so I can consume the Arizona State WVU game at 9 p.m. on Peacock, Eastern Standard Time, then it's going to say you will be charged however much Peacock costs on February 21st, which is the next game. So instead of, they're getting double my money. Am I a cheap person? I don't want to answer that. You know, that's, I look for value is how I would describe it. And they, what is the most annoying time frame they could put between two games on Peacock? I mean, if it was January 1 and March 6th, yeah, I'm paying for 3 months, but it's not as diabolical as putting it exactly on the same day, 1 month apart. The day I get charged again is the day the next game. And then I'll cancel and I'll get to watch Peacock until March 21st. And I'll check out all the Harry Potters, my favorite episodes of The Office, whatever. I'm sure there's great Peacock stuff. That's diabolical. But credit to the team, credit to whoever. This is a change from the Josh Eilert season and the previous guy's season. Ross Hodge is getting the Mountaineers on television. So credit to Ross Hodge. There's so much to talk about. Let's talk about the forwards and centers. If you missed last week's episode, check that out. Talked about the guards. Now the rest of the roster, we're talking about scholarship players. Who are the listed forwards and centers? And the first forward listed is a guy I thought I'd be talking about when I'm talking about guards. And it's Treyson Eaglestaff. 6'6 forward. But I think of him doing guard things. Eaglestaff spent his first three college seasons at North Dakota, and in his sophomore season was part of the first North Dakota team with a winning record since the 2016-2017 season. Not a basketball program. North Dakota, not known for their basketball. He started every game he played the last two seasons. Eaglestaff, he averaged almost 19 points a game last season. With a big change just looking at the stats is that he got to the line a lot more. He could drive the ball. When driving is working, that can set up his three-point shot. He likes to do the step back. He likes to shoot the mid-range off the dribble. Eaglestaff likes to shoot the ball. My man had the keys to the offense at North Dakota. And when he had the keys, he was gunning. High usage rate, and he had success he scored 40 against Alabama. He scored 51 in a conference tournament game. The man could put the ball in the basket. Now, how did he do against other top 100 Ken Pomeroy teams the last two seasons? 13 against Notre Dame, 12 against Colorado State, 13 against Nebraska, and he scored 7 against Iowa over the last two seasons. So he did score. It doesn't erase the fact that he scored 40 against Alabama, but he was fine in those other games. High usage rate. Will that continue at WVU? I'd be surprised. Definitely playing with more talent. And even Eaglestaff has talked about this as far as who he's surrounded by. So I'd be shocked if he has as high of a usage rate as he had last season. He shot 36% from three last season, about 7 attempts per game. Defensively, the numbers, they don't look great for Eaglestaff. But on paper, it should work. He has length. He should be able, but maybe it's an athleticism thing. We'll see what happens. I wonder, as far as I think Eaglestaff is going to be a starter. But Huff is not known for his defense either. And so Ross Hodge, known for defense, starting both Huff and Eaglestaff, who have not shown so far in their college career that they're big defensive guys. I wonder what that will look like defensively with Huff and Eaglestaff out there. But he's going to be out there. He's going to be in the rotation, substantial minutes. I think he's going to be a starter. And he is a guy late in the shot clock, when you need a basket, he can create. He can have size advantage over other threes. And he can maybe, when he's being guarded by a guard, he can take them to the basket. He's a make something happen guy. That's who I think the three is, as far as a starter. As far as a backup, I'm going to mention Chance Moore all the time. I think we can see Chance Moore when he's eligible. I can see him starting at the 3-2, but definitely we'll see Chance minutes at the 3. Chance could play a lot of positions. And then the other 3 on the roster that is on scholarship is the last guy added to the roster, 6'7" freshman, Evans Barning Jr. And this is just a numbers game. I don't think we're going to see a ton of Barning Jr. this season because of Moore, because of Eagle staff. And as I've talked about, Ross Hodge does not go deep into the bench. He plays his 8-9 guys. So let's get to the 4. And I think the starter at the 4 will be someone who has never started a game in his college career. He comes from North Texas, 6'9" senior Brennan Laurent, recruited by Dusty May back when he was a freshman. And as a freshman, he was on the 2023 Florida Atlantic team that made the Final Four. So he has that experience. He's been around winning. He came to North Texas last season, made a leap in almost every statistical category. And not just because he played more, just the per 48 minutes, per 100 possessions numbers, big jump across the board. And he, again, no starts. So he did not start for North Texas, but in Ken Pomeroy's computer, keeps track of the 10 most frequent lightups over the last 5 games. Late in the season, Laurent was in 8 of North Texas's 10 most frequent lineups. So no starts, but he was out there a ton. And in 25 minutes a game last season, he averaged 12 points, 5 rebounds. His best statistical game, he put up a 20, 13, and 5 blocks in a non-conference. No, I think it's a conference win over Temple. Gifted athlete. Likes to get to the basket. Most of his shots come from the paint and the right baseline. Brennan does not shoot the 3 very often, but he shot like 20 some of them last season and made half of them. So I'm excited to see. I think Laurent will get his first college start on opening night against Mount St. Mary's. He's going to play the 4. I'm excited to see how his game translates to the Big 12. Also, that is an unknown. Like, there are guys who are comfortable coming off the bench. That is still a thing. Laurent seems confident and is excited and I think will be a starter. But does he have starter energy? We'll find out because I think he's the guy. And the backup, his backup at the 4, besides, of course, Chance Moore can get minutes at the 4, is Jackson Fields. 2-year starter at Troy, 6'8". Most of his shots come from the rim. He did average a couple of 3s a game last season, attempted. He did have wrist surgery in the offseason. Doesn't sound like he's fully cleared to play yet. I think I saw a report this week that he's not going to be available early as far as opening night, but should play. I believe that was Skylar Callahan that reported that from SI. So we'll see him in the non-conference, but may not see him on opening night and early on. So then Chance Moore is not available the first 5 games. So that gives the opportunity for another freshman to be part of the rotation. And this is a guy that Ross Hodge recruited at North Texas. And when Ross Hodge came to West Virginia, he followed. So similar to KJ Tenner last season with the last guy. This is 6'7" DJ Thomas from Allen, Texas. From the clips on the internet, seems like more of a stretch 4, comfortable with the pick and pop. And he's a freshman. I don't know a ton about him, but I think we'll see Thomas early on in the non-conference schedule. Him and Jenkins are the 2 freshmen that Ross Hodge has talked about the most in his preseason press conferences. Once Moore is eligible and once Fields is healthy, how much will we see of DJ Thomas? Maybe he makes the rotation, but again, a numbers game. If Ross Hodge is going to stick with his playing 8 to 9 guys, then we're at the cutoff line, if Fields is healthy and Moore's playing, of how much Thomas is going to play. He's like your 10th guy, your 9th or 10th guy. So we'll see. But because of injury and because of the wacky eligibility rules placed on Chance Moore, I think we're going to see Thomas early in the season. And we'll see what he's got. He's a freshman.
The holidays sneak up fast, but it's not too early to get your shopping done and actually have fun with it. Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free and joyful with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts you can't find anywhere else. You're listening to this podcast. You're a WVU fan. You go to Uncommon Goods, type in West Virginia University. They've got drinking glasses. They got a throw pillow. They got, you can get a cheese board in the shape of West Virginia. All sorts of cool stuff. Many of their handcrafted products are made in small batches, so shop now before they sell out this holiday season. So shop early, have fun, and cross some names off your list today. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/musket. That's uncommongoods.com/musket for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary.
The starting five is a true seven-footer. Senior Harlan Obioha played at UNC Wilmington last season. Just like WVU's had only a handful of guys this century under 6 foot, there's only a handful of Mountaineers who are 7 foot listed. And the last seven-footer that was on a WVU basketball roster is a guy that played for both Beeline and Huggins. Jamie Smalligan was the last true seven-footer, listed seven-footer, on a WVU roster. And then before that, it was Rob Summers, who is now the head coach at Cleveland State. Then you've got Luke Bonner, who had a cup of coffee with WVU before transferring to Temple. And then you go back to Alice Chan from the Catlett era. And that's the list. Like, it's actually a shorter list than the under 6 foot list, which is surprising for Bob Huggins. As long as he was a coach at WVU, his only listed 7 footer was a guy he inherited from Beeline. But we have a 7 footer, and he comes with a similar profile. He reminds me of Jimmy Bell, with a similar story where he was playing with some extra weight the last time he was seen in Division I basketball. Obioha does not have the same look of what Jimmy Bell had in his time at St. Louis. Jimmy Bell got shredded, and Obioha is shredded. He's been listed his entire career at 280 pounds. I believe Coach Hodge said that he's down to 267, and he looks lean and mean. Like, it does fit the Jimmy Bell story of in the best shape of his life. Last year, he averaged 9.6 rebounds and playing 20 minutes a game. And I would look, based on what kind of shape he's in, to get more than 20 minutes a game at the five. And are you sitting down? I looked at the shot chart for Obioha, and would you be surprised that a lot of his shots are really close to the basket and he's looking to dunk the ball? When you're 7 foot 280, that's your shot. That's where you're the most effective is, and that's where everybody's the most effective. But your ability to get the ball and finish at the rim, he's good at that. Harlan shot 81% of his shots at the rim, made 69% of those, which is really good. And you watch the clips of Obioha, and he just positions himself near the basket, one step, dunk the ball, or action to where he's crashing to the rim and he's dunking it. Do you want to get in front of 7 foot 280 and now 7 foot 267? You do not. So he's our five. He is WVU's five. He's not my five. The other listed center that is scholarship guy is the only guy that came back from last season in Abe Oyadir. I know I'm butchering his name. Abraham. I don't expect a ton of Abraham this season. I think the fill-in at the five will be Brennan Laurent, where he's going to get reps similar to how Hansberry and Ed-Andre 3000 both played at the five. They rarely played together, but that's, think of it the same way, except you'll see Laurent and Harlan together, but maybe Harlan sits down earlier than Laurent, and Laurent is out there playing the five. I really believe we can see Chance Moore channeling Wellington Smith and being a undersized five. Like, Chance Moore has that kind of range, and I think he can hold up well against certain opponents at the five. And that's the roster. So I think the starters are Jasper Floyd, Honor Huff, Eagle Staff, Laurent, and Obioha, with the only question is when Chance Moore is eligible, will he get the nod? Will he get the... We'll see. I think there's flexibility there, and you can see, even if Hodge plays eight or nine, some flexibility in how Hodge puts guys out there. It's going to be fun. The last thing I want to talk about is the Ken Pomeroy rankings are out. So we've got, I'm sure there's other computers. As you know, if you've listened to this podcast, the one I pay attention to the most is the Ken Pomeroy rankings. And they're pretty close to Evan Maya's computer, Evan Maiakawa's computer. West Virginia is 67th in Ken Pomeroy's computer, which puts WVU 12th out of 16 Big 12 teams. And pretty much all of the computers, and by all of them, Haslametrics, Evan Maya, Ken Pom, they all agree that they have WVU in the top half of the Biden redo. All of the computers pretty much agree WVU is in the top half of the bottom half of the Big 12. So think about it. If that's what they are this year, if they are a top half of the bottom half of the Big 12, then that puts you as a NIT. I don't know if they're still doing the Crown tournament. They're playing postseason games that are not the NCAA tournament, of which Hodge, two seasons at North Texas, two trips to the NIT. And if they exceed expectations just a little, it's very similar to last year, where West Virginia was top or middle part of the bottom half of the Big 12. They was better than that. They improved from their prediction, and that improvement got them close, as close as you can be to making the NCAA tournament. And so West Virginia is at a higher ranking in the preseason ranking, still top half of the bottom half of the Big 12. But if they exceed expectations a little, they will be a bubble NCAA tournament team. So then it begs the question, well, all right, Josh, you care about Ken Pomeroy and his computer the most. How well has Ken Pomeroy's computer done with preseason rankings for West Virginia? Well, we can keep track of that. Let's look at the last nine seasons. And in the last nine seasons, Ken Pomeroy's computer nailed it once. Like, the preseason ranking pretty much lined up with how they finished in the final Ken Pom ranking. And that was in Javon and Daxter's senior season, the last year of West Virginia. So nailed it once. Let's give Ken Pomeroy he was in the ballpark in four seasons. And West Virginia finished better than expected in year three of West Virginia and last season. And West Virginia finished a little worse than expected in Deuce's last season and Taz's senior season. So that's five of the seasons. There were two seasons where the Mountaineers laughed in Ken Pomeroy's computer face. and really did way better than what Ken Pomeroy had in his preseason rankings. Once when Oscar and Deuce were freshmen in the season where they canceled the NCAA tournament, way better than the preseason ranking. And then the Eric Stevenson season, with love and respect to Joe Toussaint and Trey Mitchell and those guys, that year, West Virginia did way better than Ken Pomeroy's prediction in the preseason. So that's seven seasons accounted for. The last two seasons, Ken Pomeroy had a higher expectation and West Virginia way underperformed the preseason ranking. One season was after Javon and Daxter left, the year that ended with Issa and Wesley Harris getting kicked off the team. They severely underperformed. And then the other season that Ken Pomeroy got wrong was the year from you know where, the Josh Eiler interim coach season. If you believe that and everything evens out over a 10-year period, then Ken Pomeroy's computer has it right this season. And that West Virginia will be a top half of the bottom half Big 12 team. Do I believe that? Need to see them. Unreasonable Doubt is under the Smoking Musket umbrella. Go to smokingmusket.com. Read posts about WVU sports, daily throwdown. Check that out. Go to the Discord. We're talking about WVU sports and other stuff on the Smoking Musket Discord. Link for that is in the show notes. Listen to West by Pod, the WVU football podcast under the Smoking Musket umbrella. Do all that stuff. Smoking Musket. And we need to hear about what happens in the, I hate to say this, are we calling it secret scrimmages anymore if Ross Hodge is saying what's happening? Because Ross Hodge, in his preseason press conference, in one of them, he said that West Virginia is playing Maryland in a closed-door scrimmage. And so our good friend, your friend and mine, Buzz Williams, and his Maryland team, yep, he's at Maryland now, they're coming to the Hope Coliseum to play in a closed-door scrimmage. And Ross Hodge, I think, said that they haven't decided what they'll share after the game. So I guess it could be secretive. There could be part of this that's still a secret. But there could be a box score that could be shared. And they could share plenty of information about what happened. Like an actual box score is what we could be provided. And not like a box score that a parent of a player is writing on the back of an envelope or a napkin. That's what we used to get with, that's what made the secret scrimmage special, is yeah, maybe some information would leak out, but you get some kind of coded, that things went favorable. That's all I can say about it. Where there, and maybe they do that this year, or maybe they say, yeah, sharing the box score on social media. It's a wide spectrum. I love the idea of a secret scrimmage because it's when you try to explain it to somebody, it doesn't make any sense. Is the secret scrimmage dead? I think so. I mean, if that's a possibility that a lot of information can be shared, the more information, the less secretive. I feel like we've got to move into, we are now in the closed door scrimmage era. And that doesn't sound as cool. That's not as fun. And I want to stop talking about it. It's upsetting me. So no further questions at this time on if we're past the secret scrimmage era. I don't want it to end. I don't like change. That's it for this episode of Unreasonable Doubt. Listen on all the platforms or just pick one. Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, Overcast Podcasts, Pocket Cast Podcasts, YouTube. Until next time, I'm Josh Witt. WVU for the 2025-2026 season. They have zero wins and they have zero losses.
Life is unpredictable, but preparing for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. They offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to policygenius.com. That's policygenius.com.